Greetings, everyone. Welcome to the Delta Flyers with Tom and Harry as we journey through episodes of Star Trek Voyager. Your two hosts along this journey are my fellow actor, Garrett Wong, who on September 1st in 2008 was the only series regular actor from any Star Trek series to attend the closing ceremonies of Star Trek The Experience in Las Vegas.
What?
And myself, your favorite helmsman, Robert Duncan McNeil, Robbie D, RDM, whatever you want to call me. Remember, all you listeners, you can get the full version of this entire podcast with tons of bonus material when you sign up to become a patron at patreon.com, The Delta Flyers. There you go.
Wow, you pulled that one out. Yes, I was. I didn't even realize I was the only one there.
You were the only series
regular. I was the only
regular,
one when it closed down,
yeah. Only regular Star Trek actor to be there for the ceremony. What was that like?
And I was there on my own volition, too. So it wasn't like they invited me there. So I wasn't there as a guest of theirs.
Well, I know.
They became my family.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems, too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
They did, because when we went, did you go to the initial when they opened, the grand opening?
I had gone to the experience when I was at, you know, right, different creation conventions or
but
Vegas
you didn't
activities.
Go when they, you didn't, you, no. You didn't go to the grand opening?
No.
Do you remember they chartered a 747 for us
and took, and all, everyone, the, all,
and
these
took
actors?
All the actors. We wow. all got on board. I was sitting next to Nicole DeBoer on that flight. And then we went through red carpet. And Nicole wow. and I went through red carpet together. We just met and we went through red carpet like a couple, basically. It was interesting.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah. And you didn't go on that one.
No.
Mm-mm. Oh, my gosh. And that was an amazing experience. And what happened was the manager and I became friends. The manager, there was probably two or three managers. I became friends with all the managers.
Yeah.
And whenever I called up, I would say, hey, I'm coming in and I'm bringing, in the beginning, it was like, I'm bringing a friend and we're going to go through right. the experience. And so they would give me comped admission through the experience, the ride
nice.
Itself. And then afterwards, they would comp my lunch as well
wow.
with my guest. Okay. So then, as the days and months went by, it would be, hey, it's Garrett. I got six people. Hey, it's Garrett. At one
wow.
point, towards the end, Robbie, I remember one
you
time
have
I said,
started taking fans through there.
Like, oh my gosh. I brought a group of 20 friends once. I said, I'm coming
oh
through with
gosh.
20. They said, yep, no problem, Garrett. And we cover your lunch too. With the 20 people. It was just,
wow.
they were so generous to me. And I loved that experience. And when it shut down, I was so sad. And all the-
I remember you were very sad.
Well, not only was I sad, but the wall leading up to, you know, what they put up like a wood, you know, fit, like construction is going on. Like they
yeah.
built some type of structure. And on that structure were thousands of post-it notes of people saying, please don't close. We love you. You know, stay
oh.
here. And it was just, you know, heartbreaking to see how much that, that, you know, affected people. Like
yeah.
that ride or that
experience.
Because
the
whole thing, because it's like a museum and the ride
yes.
and the restaurant and the actors that are in, you know, the
costume.
They're in
and
costume.
And...
They're in cosplay. They're in character. They're walking
yeah.
up to you and interacting with you. That was such a unique thing.
Yeah.
And the guy that played my son in that one episode, that is the son of myself and Kes, like you're,
yeah.
remember
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Yeah. He ended up working there. He
oh,
was
funny.
Working there as a Starfleet personnel. So
oh,
he went
funny.
From being on our show to actually being over there working at the Star Trek experience. So, wow, that's a great fact.
Yeah. And it feels like, you know, this is the last episode of our rewatch podcast that I thought it was appropriate.
Yes, it's very appropriate, Robbie.
I know a lot of fans over the years built great memories there of times that they went to conventions and hung out together.
Yeah.
And it was just such a great, comfortable place to gather every year for conventions. And
oh, it was great.
Yeah, it was yeah. too bad. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And it just, you know, and it was a exact replica of like Quark's bar. And
yeah.
it looked amazing. It was absolutely amazing. And the food was good. It was like, you know, it was bar pub food, but still.
I remember singing karaoke, actually, or singing, performing in that bar for some convention. It was
fun.
Like,
oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, there's a little stage over there that they can set up. So that's what you end up doing. It was like an open mic night kind of thing, but they had
something
you
like that.
There.
Yeah, I got up and sang a couple songs or something. Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, cool. So anyway, that's the Star Trek experience.
Well, I'm glad that you were there. You were the only one, the only regular series regular to be at that closing. And here you are for our closing.
I am here. I am always at the closings, I guess. And you are here too, Robbie McNeil.
Yes. Mm. Okay, we just want everybody to know about this last episode that Garrett and I are recording this a bit early because we, just in case, want to make sure that we get our episodes recorded before a potential strike. I hope it doesn't happen. But in case it does, we're so close to the end. We want to have all our episodes recorded. So we're recording this a little bit early. Right now, we're going to go watch the episode.
We are.
And we'll be back to give you our thoughts. We have completed the entire series.
It's not how I remembered it. I remembered it being much more action, but all the action happens at the very, very, very end. It's like the last 2 minutes of the whole thing. Other than that, it moves fairly slowly, to be honest.
Really? I really liked it. It's funny because you had mentioned your memory, you like part one better than part two.
Yeah, you like part two better than part one.
I like part two better than part one,
I don't think part two is as bad as I had it in my mind for the last few decades, you know, so I thought it was a good part two. I do. I agree.
And it's funny, my memory of the finale episode, two-parter, was that we got home and then we jumped forward in time. That's why I've always been critical. I'm like, oh, and then at the end, they just skip everything and we go. That's not at all how it happened.
No.
The forward in time was all in part one.
Right.
It was the first thing. And we never go forward in time at the end. We literally finish
We stay in our time. Yes.
The whole episode, by the way.
I
realized after I watched it, I was like, oh, maybe one reason I liked part two better was it's all one timeline. Even though future Janeway is now in our timeline, we don't jump to the other timeline anymore. And that was a little bit tricky in the part one for me. But anyway, let's start with our poetry.
We have a poetry synopsis for part two, just like we did for part one. So here's my haiku for Endgame part two. Here we go. Janeway briefs Janeway. Game of chess with the Borg Queen. Homecoming at last. There we go.
Nice.
All right. Let's hear this limerick.
It's kind of sad. That's your last limerick or your last
My last haiku. Yeah. It's a little, I'm crying.
It's kind of sad.
Yeah.
It's your last haiku for the Voyager rewatch. You know what? We're going to do our what we wish season 8 could have been, would have been. We're going to talk about that in a couple upcoming podcasts. And then we'll see where this podcast goes. Maybe there's more poetry in our future. I really hope so.
I think there might be.
I think
that's all I'm going to say. I think there might be.
I don't know when.
We will brief you on that as we have that information. But never
but
fear.
You for those
of you, but for those of you who are sitting around thinking, gosh, this is the very last episode of the Delta Flyers, and now what am I going to do with my life? Well, never fear, because we have a plan for you.
Yeah. I hope they have something more to do with their life than
they
listen
do,
to
but
this
I'm
podcast.
Saying this is, for some people, this is a very big part of their lives, including
it's
ourselves.
It's a big part of our lives.
You and I, this is a huge part of our lives. So, and we've made many, many friends along the way, and we have a lot of listeners. And
reconnected with our crew, our cast.
Yes. It's, this has turned this into an institution, practically, the Delta Flyers podcast. So whatever we can do to prolong this, to keep this going, we will try our best.
We're going to need a building, like in part one, when they were at the Starfleet Communications headquarters. We're going to need a building with a giant carved out sign, the Delta Flyers headquarters. That's we are that much
is
of
that
an
what
institution.
We need? Okay. Yes. Why not?
We're an institution.
I'm up for it. I'm up for it.
Here's my limerick. Let's get some more poetry in there. This is my last limerick for the Voyager story.
Yeah.
Here we go. Through the Delta Quadrant, the Voyager did roam. Their adventures created quite a tome. And Admiral Janeway's surprise brings the Borg Queen's demise. And the Voyager crew finally makes it home.
Oh, that's a good one. I like it. Yeah.
I had to try to wrap it up with a real, like, this real, is the last.
This is, limerick. you kind of gave it a, like, this is a finality to that limerick recitation. So good job. Okay.
Thank you.
I do want to say we do have a couple of other co-stars that we didn't talk about. So for instance, Richard Sarstedt, which is really cool. I did not realize that he had a line, but he had lines as an admiral at the very end. And Richard Sarstedt, we know very well because he was Robert Beltran's main stand-in throughout the entire show. So Chakotay's stand-in was Richard Sarstedt, who played the admiral. His very first credit, Robbie, was a 1987 episode of Falcon Crest.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Falcon Crest. Classic
Falcon 80s
primetime soap opera. Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely amazing. It's interesting because if you go to IMDb and you type in Richard Sarstedt, you get some photos as well. Of Richard Sarstedt. Yes. Look at him.
Oh, my gosh. That's Richard Sarstedt.
Oh my God. Look at how cool he looks right here.
He was like a James Dean kind of guy.
Oh yeah. There's a picture of like Leonard Nimoy in black and Richard white was also, old car. So
yeah, Richard was very handsome even
as an elderly. Look at him. Look at him.
Gosh.
Look at Richard. He looks great. I mean, these are awesome shots.
He was Chakotay's stand-in for years. He also was an extra on our ship many times.
Oh, many times.
Which is, I will say this now. I was going to say it when we get to the scene.
Yeah.
It was a little confusing to me because we were in the Voyager regular timeline. He should not have been an officer. He was, because we've established him as an extra.
Oh, so they shouldn't have shown his, you're right.
But I'm so glad they gave him lines. Like, to me, break the rules.
Yeah.
He can play an officer on Earth at the same time that he should be on Voyager because he's such an awesome guy.
Definitely.
I love that he got some lines and he did a great job. Too.
Yeah.
It was great.
The other person who got a co-star credit was Joey Sicada. Joey Sicada is one of our regular. And so his co-star credit was engineering ND. So in one scene where Torres is talking about something like, we need to get this stuff done, and she's talking to one person, it's Joey that's walking with her. And so that's why he got that credit. His very first non-stunt credit is Star Trek Voyager as the engineering ND in 2001. But he did do some stunts on a project called True Vengeance in 1997 and also Red Corner, where he did stunts. So that's our Joey. Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to give them a little bit of credit since they were also listed and I didn't talk about them. So,
and part two was written by Ken Biller and Bob Doherty and story so by Biller, right. Rick Berman and Brandon Braga. Same thing.
Yeah.
Same director. So we got all that.
Yeah. So starting off at the very beginning, we have that exterior space shot of Voyager and Admiral Janeway's shuttle. And I guess it's perspective, but good Lord, Janeway's shuttle looks like it's half the size of Voyager. And I'm like, that's a big shuttle. But I guess that's perspective.
Yeah, it's closer.
So
it looks bigger.
The
perspective was a little off.
It was a little off. It didn't work for me. So. That's all right. But we move to the transporter room.
We go in the transporter room, and there's a wide shot from behind the captain, Janeway, as the admiral beams in. And very first shot, I immediately went, that's not Kate in the foreground. That's not her back. What is it about Kate Mulgrew? I can tell by her stance, her body language. And by the way, in this episode, there are so many scenes with Kate playing scenes with herself that there were doubles in a lot of the scenes and they did great. But this is the very first one. I was like, that's not Kate.
Well, you know who it was.
Who was it?
It's always Sue. It's always Sue.
I don't know if it was always Sue.
Are you sure about that? Cause I recall Sue walking around with the Janeway wig on.
Maybe.
And I was like, hey Sue, what are you doing? You look like Janeway. I thought it was her, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. Okay? It could have been.
I thought it was Sue Henley. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, the Admiral does beam in. The captain says, welcome aboard. She looks at herself, much older. The Admiral says back, it's good to be back. And then it cuts to Chakotay and Tuvok.
You see their faces?
They were just like blank face. It just made me laugh.
No, it was so funny. It was the most like, what the heck? It was a WTH, WTF kind of facial expression. It was
like a little head cock or something. Yeah. It was very funny. Just
very, very funny
expressions.
Oh, gosh.
That was great.
Yeah.
We go in the ready room, and here's a big, long scene with the Admiral and Janeway talking to herself.
Yeah.
They talk about coffee. Janeway offers some coffee in the beginning. Yeah. And the Admiral says, no, I gave that up years ago.
I
drink tea now. That was the... Yeah.
Remember that? We talked about that. One. You said, like, that's all messed up. And I said, maybe she gave up coffee. And there we are. Yeah. She gave up
coffee. So this makes sense. She gave up coffee. I loved Kate's reaction as the captain in the foreground as she pours pours herself some coffee. When the Admiral says, no, I gave it up years ago.
Yeah.
Kate's reaction is like, oh, that's horrible. She's got a great reaction.
How could you? Yeah.
Very funny. Very good.
This is an important scene because this is Admiral Janeway kind of convincing current Janeway, Captain Janeway, that she is who she is, first of all, you know, because there's a lot of questions here, basically.
Yes.
And in essence, we learn that she's brought some technology, some very cool tech to help us get back home. Yeah.
Yeah. Temporal technology and stuff to fight with the... With the Borg, just to go back to coffee for a minute.
Yeah, sure.
She talks about in Janeway's, Admiral Janeway's timeline after this, they had a battle with the Fendomar and the coffee cup was damaged.
She says, there you go.
My favorite coffee cup took a beating. And I was like, that's
how it happened. Yeah, during that. But we never experienced that. That's a future event. It. Yeah, it never happened. So that coffee cup should be perfect after the end of this episode. The other thing that's cool is that Voyager itself, the ship, is a museum in that timeline of Admiral Janeway. It's actually a museum, which is pretty amazing.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
But the Admiral does talk about 3 days ago, you saw these neutrino emissions in a nebula and you thought it might be a way home. Well, you were right. That is a way home. And you've got to bring Voyager back to that nebula. And then the captain's like, wait a minute, that it was crawling with Borg. And she says, I've got technology. You can get past them. Anyway, she's got this technology to fight the Borg, which we've never been able to do. So that's a huge from the future. That's a huge, asset that suddenly we have a whole new way to approach this. So
and who from part one was insistent on going back to the nebula? Harry Kim.
Harry was the one.
He tried to convince Tom. Tom didn't want to do it. Nobody wanted to do it. And the truth of the matter is that was the right move.
Yeah. So Janeway's still very skeptical. She talks about how great the future sounds where the Admiral's describing. You've got all these weapons to fight the Borg. You got ways to travel through these nebulas and everything. Mm-hmm. But the Admiral says, if you don't follow my lead here, it's going to take you another 16 years to get home, and there's going to be casualties along the way.
Yeah, you're going to lose people.
And when she says that, the captain's very thrown. Yeah, just a thoughtful, you can see in Kate's expression. And then and then the Admiral says, I know what you're thinking. And Janeway's like, oh, you're a telepath now.
Yeah,
it made me laugh, her reading of that line.
Yeah,
it was great. But she still is not 100% on board. So the Admiral says, look, take me to the doctor. He will prove that I am you from the future.
That's right.
Yeah. So we go into sick bay. The doctor and the captain are looking at a scan of her brain. Mm-hmm. They find this implanted microchip.
Yeah.
And the doctor says, there is Starfleet signature there. And then we cut over and there's the Admiral who's listening to them. And she says, of course, I told you, I'm who I say I am.
Right.
And then she says, this chip, you invented this chip, doctor, in the future.
Yeah.
And then suddenly the doctor's like, oh, really? Tell me about all this cool stuff I did. So it was very funny. He leaves the captain and goes over to hear about how awesome he is.
His amazing inventions. Yes. Right. So, and we do learn it's a synaptic transceiver. And what that is, it allows the person who has a synaptic transceiver implanted into their brain, it allows them to pilot a vessel. that is equipped with a neural interface. So, it's,
which is like Alice, like the episode Tom Paris had with Alice. It was the neural interface, and I think they talk about that later. Yeah. I think when Tom hears about it, he says something about Alice. But that's cool that they're kind of pulling some of these older episodes together.
Yeah.
And then Seven walks in. And when Seven enters, the Admiral looks at her very warmly. Mm-hmm. And Seven is very suspicious. She gives her the stink eye. Seven.
She does.
Like there's this long
stink eye going on.
Yeah, dramatic pause. The Admiral is, because we're kind of guessing at this point that maybe Seven didn't survive. And, you know, so the Admiral hasn't seen Seven in years. So this is a emotionally filled moment. Mm. But Seven comes in and talks about the technology. She says, yes, a lot of it looks like it's built to defend against the Borg. Mm. And Janeway says, can we put it on the ship? And Seven says, well, a lot of it's incompatible, but we can adapt the armor and weapons for sure.
Okay.
And Janeway thinks about it and says, okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
And then we go to this outside space. Yeah, it's a montage. No. Yeah. But the first, montage over a captain's log.
Yeah.
The first shot is out in space with these spacesuit Starfleeters.
Oh, tiny figures.
figures working on the hull. And I thought it was so well done. This was just at the time where CG was coming in to our show in a good way, that we were starting to get kind of confident. So those are little digital people on the outside of the hull. The shadows that they cast from the sun source or whatever is what really sold it to me, but really cool. We didn't do any of this really on.
You think Mojo was a part of that? You think Mojo helped out with that?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, we see the outside of the ship getting the hull, you know, enhancements. We see B'Elanna looking very pregnant, working and installing in engineering. And then we see the captain on the bridge looking at herself. And over it, this is all a montage over her captain's log. But I thought in the moment where the Admiral is talking to Tuvok and Chakotay at Tuvok Station, Kate said something, but you couldn't hear it because it was the captain's log was over it.
Yeah.
And they all laughed. And I just wondered, like, what did Kate say? Like, they
knew that. Oh, interesting.
They knew they weren't. She was pointing at something and they all
went,
oh.
They knew they were MOS at that point, right? So what was it?
I wonder what she said. If there's lip readers out there,
let us know.
They should lip read what she said, because I'm sure they were being inappropriate probably. Knowing that it was not going, the sound was not going to be used.
Yeah.
But
all I can think about are like college and NFL coaches covering their mouths when they're saying the plays because they're afraid that the other team has employed lip readers that are going to know the play. It's like,
I wonder if she said, or if she said something that was appropriate. She might have. Kate was very responsible, so she probably was trying to behave herself. But if it was you or me,
it was Ethan Phillips, something would have been coming out of that. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. We go to the cargo bay and Seven comes in to regenerate, begin regeneration cycle. And as she starts, we push in on her face.
Yeah.
And suddenly we hear the Borg Queen. We hear the Queen's voice, 7 of 9, tertiary adjunct of Unimatrix 01.
Yeah.
And then Seven looks across and suddenly she's not in she sees the Borg Queen right there.
Yeah.
And so she's going kind of into her head, and the Queen has brought her in the collective, brought her over to the Borg Queen ship.
Yes. And I'm going to say, just to interject very quickly, of all the actresses that have played, because there's been more than one actress that played the Borg Queen, I still got to say Alice Krieg is still
my
favorite. Oh my gosh. I mean, she adds such nuance to that character. You know what I'm saying?
And vulnerability, vulnerability.
That's what people don't understand. That is something that's very difficult to do, to show strength and vulnerability at the same time. It's not easy. I think that's something that Alice does in spades. She's so good in this role. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry, I interrupted.
Well, so she starts talking to her, you know, why can't old friends just talk? And she says that Voyager got a visitor from the future. And Seven responds, she says, well, you may be able to talk to me while I'm regenerating, but I'm no longer a drone, so I don't answer to you.
Yeah.
And I just thought, wait a minute, she can communicate while she's regenerating? Why can she talk to her all the time? Has this happened before? Or does she have to be in proximity or something? I don't know. It just was new rule that I was like, wait a minute. Yeah. She's been talking to the Borg Queen while she regenerates.
But her link to the collective has been severed. So she does not have a link to the collective. But maybe when she's in the regeneration cycle, because of the tech that's involved in the actual the regeneration alcove that she's standing in, maybe that is how the Borg Queen is able to, get to her. But it is a little confusing. It's just like,
it's really? A rule that I didn't know. I didn't know that she could talk to her.
Yeah.
But it's cool. It's very cool.
We did have examples of that, Robbie, though. Remember when Unimatrix Zero, when her boyfriend was talking to her through her regeneration cycle, right? So that did happen too. So we did see that once.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
The Queen says, "You have always been my favorite Seven," which I thought was, that's big news.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if Harry was gonna, hook up with the Borg Queen and shit now that she's reappeared.
I was waiting for her to say, "You've always been my favorite, but now I have a new favorite, Harry Kim."
Harry Kim.
She didn't do that.
No, she didn't. No. The Queen does threaten her at the end of this conversation. Yeah. Seven is defensive. We're no threat to the collective. We just want to get back to the Alpha Quadrant.
Yeah.
And the Queen says, "If you enter my nebula again, I will destroy you." Yeah. And then she makes the regeneration alcove kind of spark and it overloads in some way. We're back in the cargo bay and Seven collapses down on the ground. Yeah. And very dramatic.
The Queen did say that she has no objection to the crew wanting to turn the
alpha. Stay away from my nebula.
But don't use my nebula. Yeah, you can't use my shortcut, but you can take the long way home, the other 16, however many more years that was, 16 more years. Yeah. So,
So we're back in sick bay. The doctor's taking care of Seven. He says that there was a low energy EM surge, but she seems to be okay. Seven tells them it was the Borg Queen. And she said that she would assimilate Voyager if we went back to that nebula.
Right.
And Janeway's like, why is that so important? So there's a little clue that something's there in that nebula that the Queen does not want us to get into.
The Admiral says that it doesn't matter. She says, the Admiral says it's not going to, that the Borg Queen would not be able to make good on her threat. And at that point, I'm thinking, why is Admiral Janeway so confident? Because she really is sitting there she's cool as a cucumber.
Oh, yeah.
And she's just like, nope. Yeah, whatever the Borg Queen's going to do ain't going to work. And it's very, so now as an audience member, you're wondering, what does Admiral Janeway have up her sleeve?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she says she ran into the Borg quite a few more times before they made it home.
Right.
So she's got this technology and tactics. She knows she can defeat them.
Mm-hmm.
She wouldn't be here today if she couldn't. So Janeway says, okay, we'll go to the nebula, but stay at red alert because we're going to need to scan for Borg while we head there.
Yeah,
we go into astrometrics and Chakotay runs in to see Seven and... we have a nice soap opera scene here with love between Chakotay and Seven. So many love looks and smiles and just it's a lot.
Were you going ew? Were you still going ew?
I was kind of going.
Yeah,
it's not that I don't think they could ever be a couple. It's that there's just no setup for it.
Not at all.
It's like, we like I said before, we spent years developing the Tom and B'Elanna relationship. And so when there's scenes about their connection, it doesn't just feel like, they want to jump each other's bones. It's like Tom and B'Elanna really feel like they are vulnerable with each other. They talk about work. They talk about their lives. They joke with each other. Yeah. It's, whereas this just feels like it's immediately out of nowhere we've gone to. I can't take
my
eyes off of you.
It's just really too quick. You haven't shown us the backstory. You haven't shown us why you two matter to each other.
Yeah.
It's like this is like a bubblegum relationship. It's like, what's, this is like a little puppy love thing. And it's a little bit annoying. You're right. It's sort of like, this again.
Yeah. I do like, by the way, what the scenes bring out in Seven in a way that she softens. She's got emotional nuance and things
that
in
is,
these
that
scenes.
Is,
yes. That's really great. I just wish I knew why she's softening. Why he is the one that's.
Why did he connected. Unlock? Yes. Why?
Yeah.
Did he
how did he do
key?
That? I
what
wish
did
we
he
could
do.
Have seen it.
Because then we'd buy it. Yeah. We buy this relationship. We totally buy the little looks of like, gosh, I can't spend a minute apart from you kind of thing going on. And we would buy that, but we don't know. We don't understand it. Okay, moving on.
Anyway, so they have a nice scene where they actually, you know, they have this love looks and smiles at the beginning. It's all very passionate. And then they're like, no, we got to stay professional. And then they start calling each other like Seven says there's no Borg activity within 10 years. And Chakotay's like, well, that's good news, crewman. So he starts calling her crewman. And she's saying, yes, sir, no, sir. It's very formal.
Yeah.
And it ends with him saying, you know, whatever happens here, I want to make sure I'm in transporter range of you.
Right. They're talking about when they get back to Earth, like, what are your plans?
Yeah, when they get back to Earth, he wants to be close to her. So it's a cute scene.
It's cute. It is.
There's some fun stuff.
All right, we move on to engineering. And I have to ask you a question. Isn't this where Joey Sakata is walking next to Torres?
Yeah, I think
Torres goes, I don't want this whole system crashing because of one faulty relay. Install new ones. But I don't remember Joey saying, yes, ma'am. Does he speak?
I think he did, may have loop grouped
him. I think they loop grouped him because I didn't see his mouth move, and I don't remember. Yeah, so I don't know.
Yeah, and then she calls to someone else. So B'Elanna is putting all this tech in that Admiral Janeway brought from the future, and Paris comes in.
Yeah,
and he says, "Hey, B'Elanna," and her immediate response is, "Shouldn't you be on the bridge? Like, why aren't you supposed to be working?" And I thought to myself, this is a real relationship. Off of that last scene that was just so lovey-dovey. I was like, this is what real couples do.
Oh, yeah. What,
why are you calling me now? Aren't you working?
Yes. And it's funny that they put these scenes back to back because now it shows the audience like, yes, we do believe in Paris and Torres. We don't believe in Chakotay and Seven. Yes. They actually made it even more evident by doing this back-to-back scene. So, you know, they kind of shot themselves in their own foot. The writers did on that one.
It was a fun contrast of an older relationship or a deeper, you know, long-term relationship. And then the puppy love of new love. But very funny. He follows her around. Also, I want to say Alan Craker did a beautiful job in this scene because it is a oneer. Like it's a long.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Brings her over, then it turns around.
So starting with Joey, all the way over.
She goes down to talk to somebody working under a console.
Yeah.
Reveals Tom coming in.
Right.
We lead them all the way around the warp core in a 360.
Yeah.
And when you do these kind of scenes, I think Picardo mentioned this when we had him on the show. You have to get everything right. There's no cuts in here. So the dialogue has to be the right pace, the right lines, the right focus for the camera operators. There's a lot of elements going on. And this 360 with all this movement and Tom coming in and the two of them on the walk and talk all around the warp core was great. Really well done by Alan Craker.
Yeah.
And I love his joke when he says, oh, I could offer to give you a massage, but then everybody would want one. That made me laugh.
Yeah, it was a good scene. Although, do you think it was proper for you to actually kiss her on the job, though? I thought that was I was like, uh-oh. Like,
but they're talking about the baby at that point.
I get it, but you guys are you're still in engineering. We're kind of in the back, aren't we?
Didn't we walk all the way around?
I guess. I don't know. I just don't recall you guys ever kissing on the job before, you know what I'm saying? On the bridge or anywhere. So to me, that was a little odd. I didn't understand.
I did like this exchange at the end. It was very tender and sweet.
It's very tender. Yeah.
Did get into coverage there in a nice way. There's a nice kiss at the end. Not a chance. Yeah. He said, you know, she says, oh, you flyboys are all the same. You'll take the first piloting assignment back home that comes along and leave me to deal with the baby. And he says, not a chance. Gives her a kiss. And then when I pulled back, I noticed that there was a shadow and I moved over to clear her light. And those are the little things like as the audience, you don't notice when the key light is behind you and, you know, you're shadowing the other actor to be able to. I was just impressed with myself. I was like, oh, look at me moving over to clear her light. That's because we work together a lot.
Yeah. And also because you're the true professional. You're able to clear that light. And
I work with a lot of actors as a director who are not as familiar with some of the technical stuff.
Definitely.
And that's one of the most common problems is you know, actors are getting in tight with each other for for a scene.
Yeah.
And they don't realize they're shadowing
the other actor's key light. And it's so annoying because, Robbie, we see it all the time in finished projects that they air on streaming platforms or anywhere, that you actually see the other actor completely blocking out the light of the other one, and it's dark, and it's the only take they have, so they got to use it, right? So they're like, they're up the creek.
I was happy that I cleared her light. That was one of my favorite things.
It's like the time when you were sweating on the side of your face away from camera. I thought that was very, very professional of you.
Thank you. We go out to space. We see the nebula again. Voyager's approaching the nebula, and on the bridge, Janeway calls to Torres, deploy the armor. We go back to space, and we see that armor from the future unfold around the entire ship, which is super cool.
Super cool.
And then we pull back from a monitor. We realize it's the Queen's monitor, that she's watching this happen.
Intently.
Yes. And she fires as the armor is just finishing, wrapping around the ship, the cube. The Queen fires at the ship, and Tuvok says it's working.
Yeah.
The armor's integrity is 97%. So it seems
pretty good.
Very good. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The cube continues to fire at Voyager, but it's doing okay. Three cubes are now out there and they're all firing, but it's the shields are holding. But we do start to lose integrity.
Yeah.
The armor's going down to 50%, down to 40%. Yeah. Janeway says, okay, let's attack them then if they're going to keep firing at us.
Right.
She says, target the lead cube, fire the transphasic torpedo.
Transphasic torpedo. So basically what they did, Robbie, was they modified with future technology one of our existing photon torpedoes that does not exist.
Exists. What happened? Yes.
we have new torpedoes called transphasic torpedoes, which is cool because they're very effective. Like one torpedo blows the entire cube up. It's like, bye-bye, cube.
Yes. The cube blows up. Jamie says, target the second cube. The Queen is watching as her cubes are getting blown up. One, two, and then the third one decides to take off.
Yeah.
And so it breaks off and the cube leaves. Yep. And Chakotay says distance to the center of the nebula. Seven says less than 100,000 kilometers. So we're heading right into that nebula. We arrive, we cut out to space, and we see this like spider webby kind of thing inside the nebula.
Yeah.
Never seen it before.
No.
Janeway says, what the hell is that? But the Admiral says, alter course, Mr. Paris, to enter the aperture at coordinates 3, 4, 6 by 4, 2. So Admiral just says, go inside it. And Janeway's like, wait a minute. I asked you a question. What is that thing?
Mm-hmm.
And the Admiral says, it's a road home. And Seven says, it's not just a road home. It's a transwarp hub. So this is a major Borg asset that they can use.
Mm-hmm.
And Janeway says that Seven said there were only 6 of them in the entire galaxy.
Yeah.
And so this is a really important thing. Janeway wants more information, but the Admiral says, let's just get back to the Alpha Quadrant. And Janeway thinks and she says, nope, let's turn around, take us out of the nebula.
Yeah. And
everyone's confused. Paris is like,
Barry.
Captain? She says, you heard me, out of here. And the Admiral tries to order Paris to go into the aperture. But Janeway says, no way. This is my bridge.
Yeah.
And I'll have you removed if I have to. Take us out of this nebula.
That is so funny, though. The Admiral removing herself from the bridge is just that whole concept. That idea is just funny to me. It's just like, I'll remove you, which is me.
And the rank. She outranks her.
Yeah. Me, the lowly captain, is going to order you, the future admiral, off the bridge.
Yeah.
I'm going to take you.
And
which is
I
me.
Was at this point in the story, I was so confused. I'm like, why is she doing this? I have no idea.
Yeah. It's a little confusing. But we get an explanation, right? Yes. An astrometrics lab in the next scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Seven explains this hub connects with thousands of conduits with endpoints all over the four quadrants. It allows the Borg to deploy vessels anywhere they want in the galaxy within minutes. So
this is a huge tactical hub for them.
And Janeway basically says, all right, well, how do we destroy it? And I was like, oh, that's why she didn't want to go home. She wants to take out the Borg's ability to
even
jump
come
around
to Earth. To jump out to where we're at.
And I did notice in this scene, I started noticing a pattern. Admiral Janeway is always standing off to the side away from the captain and other, because you had Kate playing both roles.
Yeah,
so you had to stage it in a way, you know, you couldn't do every scene with them right next to each other because you'd have vis effects and split screens and all kinds of things. So they staged her again off to the side, sitting by herself. But she says it's a waste of time. You know, you try to destroy this thing and she's just going to adapt. And you might get rid of one or two, but you're never going to destroy the whole thing. You're never going to, you know, blow one up and have the whole thing, you know, collapse. You won't have enough time to do it.
Yeah. And also the structure itself is it's shielded. So it's not, you know, it's not easy to take the whole thing down.
So the admiral in this scene is like, you know, you might get rid of one or two things, but you're not going to destroy it all. So let's just go back home. Let's just go back, enter this nebula. And Janeway's like, you know what? We're going to find a way to destroy it. You take a walk with me. And you've got Janeway and the Admiral on a walk and talk.
Oh, my
Kate
God.
Doing a walk and talk with herself.
With herself.
I don't know how they did it. I honestly don't. Yeah. It was a very tricky scene to shoot with the two of them.
It looks great. It looks wonderful. But I will say this. I feel that this is probably the biggest episode for Kate Mulgrew on the entire show in terms of her time commitment of having to get back into makeup to look like Admiral Janeway.
This was huge.
Oh my goodness. I can't even imagine how many hours.
And double shooting scenes. She'd shoot half the scene one day and then come back the next day and makeup and shoot the other half.
She earned her salary every cent on this episode right here.
Yeah.
Right here.
But Janeway argues that if we could, you know, cripple the Borg by destroying some of this, even we could save millions of lives. And the Admiral's like, you know, this isn't a goodwill mission. This is, you know, I came here to get you home and you're not going to get home if you try to fight the Borg.
Right.
There is a moment where they're walking, the two of them, and they come into a two shot, beautifully done. The profile shot looked great as they walk up into this, you know, standoff with the two of them. And Janeway basically says, you know, you're being cynical and we can do this. And, I hope I never become as cynical as you, which is interesting. The biggest part of the conversation when the Admiral goes to Janeway's leadership and how she is responsible basically for trapping them all in the Delta Quadrant, that she put other people's lives ahead of her crew and now they're all stranded. And the Admiral's basically saying, don't make that mistake again. Don't put other people's lives ahead of your crew. Take care of your crew. Go home.
Captain Janeway says, look, you got Voyager home, which means that I, your younger self, will also do the same thing. So if it takes a few more years, then that's just fine. But before she finishes her line, Admiral Janeway pulls the ace out of the out of the hole, which is 7 of 9 is going to die. So that was the huge news that she pulled out. This stops Janeway in her tracks. Absolutely. She has no clue that this is going to happen. Admiral Janeway says 3 years from now, injured on an away mission, she'll make it back to Voyager, and then she will die in the arms of her husband. So now we learn that 7 of 9 and the Admiral's timeline becomes the wife of Chakotay, and that Chakotay will never be the same after Seven's death, and neither will you, Captain Janeway. So, and then Janeway's like, okay, well, if I know this, then now I can avoid it. But Admiral Janeway's like, no, just not only Seven. There's another 22 crew members, basically.
And we're going to die.
Yeah.
So she starts giving her the facts. You want to stick around here? People are going to die.
Right.
And I love in that two shot when Kate, as the captain, walks behind the Admiral. It's beautifully done because it's got to be a split screen with rotoscoping going on. It's a technically a tricky shot, but it totally feels like Kate is in both of those roles one shot.
Yeah.
Really well done.
Very seamless.
And the final thing she says, she talks about Tuvok and his neurological condition. And it's going to get worse. But if you go back now, you can fix him.
Yeah, there's a cure and in the Alpha
there's
Quadrant.
There's a cure, but he's got to go now. He can't. Yeah. It'll be too late if you walk away from this opportunity. So loaded scene. She spills a lot of beans, and we go to the ready room. Janeway is talking to Tuvok. He appreciates her concern, but he says, "I'm fine. Don't do this for me."
Yeah, and the doctor's managing my condition.
I did notice that Tim didn't look at Kate during this scene. He was sitting down. She's kind of pacing around and standing up. You could tell that he's torn. He's saying, you know, don't do this for me. But you can tell how worried he is about his condition.
Yes.
That it's very serious.
Yes.
It's called Fall-Torvo. And the condition is not Fall-Torvo. The way to fix it is called Fall-Torvo. And that's a mind meld with another Vulcan that is compatible. And there's no one here on the ship that can do it. But if they went home, his family members could do it for him. So,
yeah, but there's also a drug that will help him too, right? The experimental drug. That's what I thought that. So he's talking about Fall-Torvo, which is a Vulcan ritual or something to help him.
That will fix him.
What?
No, that will fix him. But
what about the medication though?
You
remember the Promexaline? She goes, remember when Janeway goes to the doctor in part one? She goes, I need 1,000 cc's of Promexaline or whatever, and I need it by tomorrow. So I thought that was what she was going to give to. What is that for then? See, that's what I'm confused about.
That's for her trip or something. That's for her
temporal time jump, maybe?
Only way Tuvok can get fixed is to go back and mind meld now.
Another Vulcan.
If he waits too long, there is no fixing it.
Got you.
I do love that Tuvok in this scene at the end quotes Spock.
Yes.
He says, to quote Ambassador Spock, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. Mm-hmm. I love that we, you know, in this final episode, we're bringing in such mythology.
TOS, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm. Next, we're in the cargo bay.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, Seven has been told the truth by the Admiral.
That she will die.
And Seven is thrown. You can see it. In Jerry's performance, she does a great job. You know, the Admiral saying, just tell your captain that, you know, the cost is too high. You're going to die. And Seven's like, no, I can't. I can't.
Can't do it. I won't disobey her. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And she does. Seven's logic about it is, well, now that I know that the consequences in the future, they're no longer a certainty. Maybe I can change it, you know.
Right.
But even if they were a certainty, that my death would be a small price to pay for the destruction of this entire network. So Seven's on board with Captain Janeway. And even though she knows she may die, you know, she's willing to follow her captain. So the Admiral is not getting anywhere. Even the Admiral even tries, you know, she talks about people who love you, you know, your colleagues, your friend, people who love you. Mm-hmm. Imagine the impact that your death is going to have on them. And Seven, That does throw Seven a bit, because then she's like, you know what? I've got work to do. And she leaves. And then we go to the briefing room with all of us. I think this is the last scene that we shot where all of us were together.
You mean including Seven and everyone?
Yeah, I think so.
So you're not counting the, counting the bridge scene? Because the very final scene that we filmed of the entire, that I remember, was the bridge scene. That was
last
scene. This briefing room scene was not the very
well. This is the final briefing room scene. Then
it is the final briefing room scene. It's a big scene because it's got Harry's speech in it. So that's
got a big speech from Harry. Yeah. The other thing I noticed in the scene, we all have our coffee mugs.
Yeah.
And I remembered, reminded me, I know when we were filming this scene that Beltran and I were playing that stupid game with the coffee mugs where we like try to make each other laugh with doing weird action with coffee mugs, like smelling the coffee or, you know, drinking it or starting to drink it. And then not drinking it.
Coming up and then bringing it down. Yeah. You and two goofballs.
Ethan Phillips did it first in some briefing room scene a ways back, but Beltran and I kept it going. And Tim Russ would not participate. You would not participate, but Beltran and I remember, and we might have done it in the scene. It's not in the cut, but when I saw the scene, I was like, I think, because I remember Alan being there and him going, come on, guys, stop it. Because we kept doing these weird things with the mug. So I kept looking for something. I think Beltran sort of looked at me and smiled in the cut at one point, but none of our business is in the scene, but I wish it was. It was fun. It was a fun game.
Okay, so I actually memorized this line for some of my cameos, actually.
Oh, you do?
I think it's safe to say that no one is more obsessed with getting home than I have. But when I think about everything that we've been through, maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. And if that journey takes a little bit more time, if that journey takes a little longer so we can do something that we all believe in, then there's no place that I'd rather be or any people that I'd rather be with. And then I thought I said to the journey at the end, but actually you say to the journey after I say that speech. So you add that on.
Good job on that speech, by the way. It was a really, really well done speech, well written speech.
Most definitely.
And Craker, as usual, stages things really, really well. Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad I had the coffee cup while we were filming because I'm sure it made me laugh.
I have to go back and watch. Can you see any of that in the cut? Oh, dang it.
Alan kept getting mad at us. I remember when we were filming. He's like, stop it.
It's like he knew guys were goofing off.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
I would be so mad at actors now that I'm a director.
Yeah. If they did that to you, you'd be like, dude, stop it. Let's get through the day.
But we do to the journey. We've got this moment. It's basically a scene where we're behind, we're behind the captain, and we'll take longer if that's what it takes. Everyone agrees. We go into the mess hall and the admiral orders
coffee.
And the captain's like, I thought you gave it up. And admiral says, well, I've decided to revive a few of my old habits. Yay, coffee.
Yay,
coffee. And the admiral realizes, I forgot how much the crew loved you and they love being together. It's a very sweet scene.
Right.
This is your crew, not mine. And the admiral kind of accepts her decision. And so she suggests, she says, look, maybe, if I help you with your decision, with your mission, the way you want to do things, we can have better odds. Yeah. And then Janeway takes a step further. She's like, well, wait a minute. Maybe there's a way we can have both. Yeah. We can have what I want and what your plan is, get us home and damage this thing.
Right. A two for one.
Yeah. And the admiral says, well, there may be a way, but it's very risky.
Yeah.
And Jamie says, well, let's talk about it. And then the admiral finishes with the coffee. She goes, I don't know why I ever gave this up. Yay, coffee. Yay, coffee. Yeah. So many two-handers with Kate and herself, by the way. It's just, this was a point in watching the show. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
A lot of two-handers. And by two-handers, I mean scenes with only two characters, and Kate was playing both sides of it.
Yeah.
And I do remember when I finished, and maybe it was on the bridge, the last scene that I did before I left, Kate said something to me like, I'm really sad because I have to work like another couple of days or something. And it's just me. you guys are all done and I've still got a couple of days of work and it's just me and the crew.
Yeah.
And so she must have shot a lot of these scenes after we had all been wrapped.
Yep.
Like this scene, I would guess. The scene in Mess Hall, I bet she shot after we were all gone, which is very sad.
Like, it's very sad.
She finished alone, you know.
Agreed. Anyway,
we go into Admiral Janeway's shuttle. The captain enters. They basically have come up with a plan. We don't know what it is, but Janeway gives her a hypospray, some kind of hypospray injection.
What was that?
I don't know.
Is that is that the virus?
Maybe that's the something.
Yeah, but or whatever. Right?
Maybe it's like, that medicine you were talking about.
Maybe that's what she.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know what it was, but it was something to help her. Maybe it was the NanoPro that, you know, because later on, well, we'll get there, but later on when she's being assimilated, she's able to use that to do something. So maybe this is using some Seven technology and some of her future technology and coming up with a way that's going to help her trick the Borg Queen or infect. It must be the infection that the Borg Queen dies from.
Basically, the Admiral is the Trojan horse. Okay. Yes. So she brings in the
virus,
the contaminant, whatever it is that brings down the collective. Yeah. So, So maybe that's what it was, what was in there. So, okay. Yeah.
We go out to space. We see the Admiral fly her shuttle into the nebula and into this transwarp hub.
Yeah.
We're back in Astrometrics, Seven and Chakotay. But this time it's not all lovey-dovey romantic. No. Seven's very professional.
She's cold as ice.
And they have a bit of an argument. You know, she's like, I don't want to talk about it. She's being very professional. She's not joking. She's not sweet.
Chakotay gets loud in this.
He gets loud. He gets mad. Yeah. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
You He's know, like, we're on intimate terms. You know, and she says, no, not anymore. We're not on intimate terms. And
he doesn't want the Nookie train to stop. And she's like, no, it's done. This train is not.
We're done.
Further. Yeah.
And I was like, whiplash. I mean, Chakotay probably felt like whiplash. Like, wait a minute. Why? You just loved me in the last scene. And now. So he demands to know why. And she basically says, we both have dangerous jobs. And it's best that we don't have an emotional attachment with each other because one of us could get hurt
or seriously injured or worse is what she said.
So, yeah. Or worse. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Chakotay ends the scene with, you know what, being in a relationship involves risk and nobody can guarantee what's going to happen. But, you know, I know that if we stick together, our lives are going to be better no matter what happens in the future.
His final line, he says, if you think I'm going to let you end this because of what might happen, then you need to get to know me a little better. And I thought the whole audience would have liked to have got to know your relationship a little better. Like, we don't know what's going on here.
He also was very handsy with her. Like, he grabs her and turns her around. Yeah, and
it's like, what?
He's like very, very handsy in the scene.
Yeah. Not my favorite scene. Okay.
Yeah. Not my favorite story. But anyway. Okay. Moving on to sickbay. We're in sickbay and Torres is in labor. And I love how angry she is in labor, yelling at the doctor.
She's going to rip his holographic head off. When she screamed that, I was laughing my butt off. This scene was very funny to me. Yes.
And it's not a false alarm. We realize is really happening. But I also love that Paris made a bet.
He joined the pool that Harry started. He's like, I might actually win. When Paris says that, I started laughing again.
Yeah. He picked 1500 hours. I picked today. I could win this.
You did.
And she's like, great. I'm glad I could accommodate you.
Yeah.
It's very funny. Janeway calls. She's like, we need you on the bridge. He's about to say, I can't come because B'Elanna's having the baby. But Torres says, no, you need to go. And if we're going to succeed, we need our best pilot at the helm. So get down there. And he says, on my way. I love how he sort of gives her a kiss. He kind of gives the baby, puts his hand on the belly. It was very sweet.
Yeah.
And then it's very sweet. And he goes to fly the ship and she says, okay, let's do this. Let's get the show on the road.
So, okay. Let me
ask you. Baby's on the way.
Yes. Did you notice there's a theme in this episode with Torres and you? She calls you Flyboy over and over. She never called you Flyboy before that. It's almost like It's like that would be something that she would call you in the beginning of your relationship. You know, yeah. It's sort of like, hey, fly boy. And all of a sudden it comes out now in the very final episode. And she's never used that term of affection or that nickname for you
for the entire time.
So that was a little bit inconsistent.
It was either Bob Daugherty or Ken Biller got that in their head.
And they were like, this is what I want to throw in there. Yeah.
And they did it a few times. Yeah.
It reminds me of that whole, you remember that one time where Chakotay is talking to Janeway and he goes, you did it again. She's like, what are you talking about? He's like, you always touch your whatever. And it's like, no, she doesn't. She never touches that thing. She just did it for this episode because the writers thought that she had that little quirk. Yeah. So that's the same thing with Flyboy for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Next, we're in the Borg Queen's chamber and she realizes that Voyager has altered course. She hears the Admiral's voice. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you do it. All these voices talking at once. You must get terrible headaches if you're calling drones to assimilate me. Don't bother. And the queen says she doesn't need drones to assimilate her.
Yeah. She shoots tubules at Janeway's neck, Admiral Janeway's neck. But guess what? She's not there. This is not this is not the real Admiral Janeway. Janeway is only in the mind of the queen. And I love how she says, I'm not actually here, Your Majesty. I'm in your mind.
So she's kind of doing a queen game.
Yeah, like
that's normally what the queen is in the power position.
Yes. And it's the synaptic interface is what Admiral Janeway is using. And then she said, don't waste your time trying to trace this signal.
And I do love that the synaptic interface is kind of the same thing as Alice. So it's technology that Janeway used from her experience and those things in the future. She took that and developed the synaptic interface. So it's very, I love that. It's very cool.
I like it too.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I do like this whole scene where the Admiral clearly has the upper hand.
Right.
The Queen is sort of running away from the Admiral. Like we're in the, you know, we're in the Borg Queen's lair, but she's on the defensive. She's kind of, she's nervous. She's, you know, running around. But the Admiral's telling her, you know, the Captain Janeway is determined to bring down your hub and destroy your transwarp network. So she's basically spilling the beans, it appears here.
Yeah.
And she's pretending like, I don't want her to do that. But you know Janeway, she's really stubborn. And, you know, if she wants to destroy your thing and she's got transphasic torpedoes, she tells her. And the Queen's, again, very defensive. Well, we'll adapt. We'll figure this out. Then the Admiral says, the way you can help me get Janeway to do what I want, to go back to the Alpha Quadrant, is just tractor Voyager and then drag them back to the Alpha Quadrant.
Yeah. And basically she says that if you do that, I'm going to tell you how to adapt to those transphasic torpedoes now before they cause massive damage, before you can adapt to them. So this is the deal. Just tractor Voyager, drag them back to the Alpha Quadrant.
Yeah. Drag them back and I'll give you the technology. And so it's a win-win. That's what she's saying right now. So basically the Admiral is saying, you know, I'm trying to help them, save them from themselves. You know, that the crew is all blinded by their loyalty. They want to, you know, follow their captain and try to fight you and destroy you, but tractor them back, get them back there. And, then I'll give you this technology.
But the Queen's not happy with that. She says, I need more than that. So Admiral Janeway says, well, what do you want? The Queen says, other than the knowledge of the technology to, you know, battle the transphasic torpedoes, I want your vessel and its entire database. So she wants she wants the shuttle, basically, right? And she wants the database and the shuttle, which comes from basically 36 years in the future. So there's a lot of information that shuttle has.
Yeah. And the Admiral says, fine, I'll give it to you just after Voyager goes back. And the Queen says, well, how do I know you're not lying? And Admiral says, well, you're just going to have to trust me. Hmm. And that's when the Queen says, oh, you underestimate me. I don't need to trust you. While we've been talking, we've triangulated your signal. And so they know where she is. And Admiral Janeway back on the shuttle says, computer, deactivate the interface, deploy armor. And she starts to deploy the armor.
But she's not been, fast enough. Been
busted. Exactly. Oh. They realize that the ship was literally cloaked right outside of her unicomplex.
Yeah.
And the Janeway has beamed over onto the Queen's cube. And so now she really is here. It's not the neural interface. Mm-hmm. And that's when the Queen starts to inject her, to assimilate her, inject her with, Borg nanoprobes.
Yeah.
This looks bad. And the Queen even says, we don't even need words to understand each other now. So she's being assimilated by the Queen. This does not look good. It looks like her Admiral Janeway's plan is falling apart at this point.
Right.
Back on the Voyager, did you hear me say? Voyage. Janeway says on Voyager, take us inside the transwarp hub. And Paris says, I, Captain. Mm-hmm. So they're heading inside this transwarp hub. Back on the Queen's ship, the collective voice says, Voyager has entered aperture 823. By the way, who does this voice of the collective? I was thinking that in this episode. Is it Loop Group that does it?
That's a really good question.
Because it's the same voice we always hear.
Yeah. Well, you know who would know that is
Steve Welke.
Yeah.
We should talk to Steve Welke. Maybe we'll talk next week.
Yeah, we'll talk to him next week. We'll see. But any of Braga would know that. So would
I wonder who it was, because it feels like it's the same voice in the movies, in our show.
Yeah, like when you watch First Contact, it's the same voice as the one they use here. And for every time we hear the Borg, because it's the same guy Loop Group.
It's that collective voice.
The collective voice, which has multiple voices together.
Corridor 9, Voyager, like all that stuff.
I just thought about
that in this scene.
But this is the beginnings of the Queen. Sort of kind of, you know, feeling
she gets like an electric shock at first. Yes.
And then she's kind of debilitated it for a second, it seems like. Yeah. And then she has to hold on to something because she's about to fall over. Like, now we know something weird is happening.
Yeah.
And I love Admiral Janeway's comment. Instead of saying, must be something you ate, she goes, must be something you assimilated.
Like, yes, it's very funny.
It's like the Queen's like, what? Wait, what did you do? And the Admiral's like, I thought we didn't need words to understand each other. So everything that the Queen said to Admiral Janeway just kind of dishes up and serves right back at her, right?
Yeah.
But the Queen realizes that they have been infected by a neurolytic pathogen.
Yes.
And this is the Trojan horse effect. Admiral Janeway played this chess game. So Admiral Janeway knew that she would eventually be triangulated her position, that she would be beamed over. She wanted to be beamed over to be assimilated by the Borg Queen.
So she could spread this pathogen.
Yes. So smart cookie. Very smart.
Back on Voyager, back on the Voyager. Seven says it looks like the Admiral's plan succeeded. The conduit shielding is destabilizing. Janeway orders three torpedoes to be shot into the hub.
Yeah.
And back in the Borg Queen's chamber, the Queen says Voyager will be destroyed, but the Admiral says, no, they're ahead of the shockwave. They're going to survive. Captain Janeway and I made sure of that. It's you who underestimate us. So I love that Admiral and Captain have this plan that's so well thought out. The Borg Queen's arm starts coming, like she's apart.
It's spritzing.
And then she pulls it off.
Yes, because sort of like someone being bitten by a snake, the venom, like they're trying to cut off that one appendage that has the poison in it. That's what I felt that she was doing. She's pulling off that one infected arm.
She pulled off her arm and tossed it over, and it kept moving around.
It was still moving on the ground. Yeah.
It was gross.
I didn't think it was gross. I thought that was cool. But I just want to say, and I want to interrupt you right now, and I want to say that this whole infection, this whole plan of Admiral Janeway, it's the same plan that won the day in Independence Day. The movie.
Oh, is it really?
Jeff Goldblum comes up with, let's go ahead and introduce a virus into the computer system of the aliens, and then all the ships will be brought, all their motherships will be, will crash and be brought down. So it's the message to every human being on this planet is, if we are attacked by aliens, the only true way to repel them is to infect them with a virus or a pathogen. That's it. End of story.
Got it.
This is,
got it.
So if anyone forgets that, remember this. This is the key. So that's all.
Well, it seems to work because her arm's falling off, her leg falls off, all this stuff. And then she dies, basically. And we see the whole central complex explode.
Okay. My memories of her dying was that she was following us in a cube or the sphere, and that exploded and she died in that one. I did not remember that she died from the virus inside her chamber.
She died in the chamber from the virus. Nope. And we do see the whole complex sort of explode. And my feelings at that moment were so sad because Harry's love is dead. Sorry, Harry. She died in the big explosion.
We didn't even go on our first date.
I know.
It was only emails.
It was so close.
We only knew each other from telepathy and emails.
I know. It's very sad for Harry that moment. That's all I could think of.
That could have been my true love. That could have been my soulmate. But yeah, gone.
She's right? gone.
But she
thanks,
did.
Thanks, Janeway.
Before she
thanks for killing my love.
But before she dies, she does send that message to the sphere, though, right? The sphere is now following Voyager. That's the only Borg vessel that could hear her thoughts when she started malfunctioning. So, all right.
We go to Starfleet Command, and Admiral Paris is there.
Your daddy.
With Richard Starstedt and Barclay. And
they're reading a transwarp aperture. Yep. Lesson light year. Your dad is like very nervous. He's like, I want every ship in range to converge on those coordinates
now. Because they think
now.
The Borg are coming.
They're coming right through. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they think a giant army of Borg is coming out. So they've got their sights set on that conduit.
They sure did. Yeah.
That transwarp aperture.
Yeah.
And he's got everybody there. I did love that Richard Starstedt was in the scene and he had lines. I just thought
God.
He did a great job.
I was so happy. I was so happy to see him. Do you remember that he did these lines? You don't
I
remember
didn't
that, do you?
I remember before, but once I saw him, I was like, oh, I remember when he talked about it, that he got some lines.
Oh, okay.
It was good. A big deal. It meant a lot to him.
Yeah, for sure.
We go to the bridge and we see that the sphere is firing at Voyager. There's so many sparks on the bridge at this point. Yeah. I feel like this was the biggest battle spark sequence we ever had on the bridge. It was huge.
Super sparky.
Yep. They're trying to run from the sphere, but it starts to tractor them. And Paris says he can't stay ahead of them. Mm-hmm. Tuvok says the armor's failing. Chakotay's looking for the nearest aperture to come out. Seven says 30 seconds ahead. And it leads back to the Delta Quadrant. And I was like, oh, no. We're going to just loop back around. We all know this is the last episode. They knew it at the time. So we're not going to get stuck in the Alpha Quadrant again, are we? But Janeway says, adjust your heading.
Yeah.
And back at Starfleet Command, it says now they've got 18 ships in position, 9 more on the way. They open a channel. The Admiral tells all the ships, use all necessary force, whatever comes through there. Fire at it, blow that thing up.
The sphere comes out first, right? I think
the sphere comes out. Now we did see the sphere starting to tractor Voyager, so we know it had a tractor beam on Voyager,
right?
And but Starfleet vessels all the Starfleet vessels have old technology. They cannot destroy this sphere even with 18 of them.
Correct.
They can't do it. So the only thing that can destroy it is the technology that Admiral Janeway gave to us. So we got tractored in. The sphere came through into the Alpha Quadrant.
Okay.
Because we go back on the bridge and Janeway says, Mr. Paris, what's our position?
Yeah.
He says, right where we expect to be. So he doesn't really say where we are, but we've gotten we've gotten tractored into the sphere. The sphere comes out. Starfleet can't blow them up. So Tuvok fires the torpedo from inside the sphere.
Yeah.
And we blow up the sphere because we cut to Starfleet Command. Admiral Paris says,
you mean Tuvok fires not from inside the sphere, but from inside the corridor. is what you're saying, correct?
I think we were tractored inside the sphere. We blew it up from the inside and flew out of it.
Oh, we were inside the sphere is what you're saying.
Yes.
That is so bizarre.
That's how I saw it.
Okay. Maybe you're right. All right. So when she made commands, when she goes, the sphere is still listening to me. I thought the sphere was chasing us going through.
It was chasing us, but it did tractor us.
Into them is what you're saying, yes. Right? It chased us, tractored us into the sphere, and it popped out on the other side.
I mean, it wasn't clear that we got tractored in. I think it happened off camera. But once we blew it up from the inside and seemed to fly out of it, that's how I read it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, Voyager flies out of this debris, out of the exploding sphere. So I think we did it. We're back in the Alpha Quadrant. Janeway brings up a hail. Harry says we're being hailed.
Yeah, on screen, view screen. We see Admiral Paris. We see Richard Sarstedt. We see Barclay. Welcome back from your dad. And Janeway, it's good to be here. It's so interesting because, again, I didn't remember this interaction going the way it did. I was like, oh, okay. Thanks for your help, Admiral Janeway. And then sick Beta Bridge. There is a baby crying in the background. And Kim chuckles is what it says in this little reading thing. So did you notice the teary-eyed was after your baby?
I thought it was tears of joy. It was all the things is what I got from, you know, your reaction in that. It was a couple of shots of Harry, and it was happiness about the baby, happiness to be home.
It was supposed to only be at the happiness to be home, not at the baby. That's my point.
It read about all those things.
Really?
Me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was great. I thought this last, I mean, I didn't remember the sequence of events. Like I said, I thought we got back and then there was like a tag at the end where we're all at a party in the future and we're older. And I remembered this totally wrong, this finale episode.
Right. And also when the doctor says, doctor to Lieutenant Paris, there's someone here who'd like to say hello. And so I thought he said, congratulations on being the father of a bouncing baby girl. But that line is not in here at all. So that was in my head for the last 30 something years. And it's wrong. feel like I'm like, huh?
Okay. I mean, maybe it was in the script. I don't have the script, so I don't know.
And then it got cut out then?
Maybe it got cut off.
Maybe.
Because that sounds familiar to me, too.
And then he,
bouncing baby girl.
Yeah, so then it was looped by Bob Picardo later. Doctor to Lieutenant Paris, there's someone here who'd like to say hello, which is a new line, different from bouncing baby girl thing, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. Because Janeway says, you better get down here, Tom. And you're like, yes, ma'am. So you leave, right? So Chakotay
to the
helm. That's right.
We never see the baby. We never see B'Elanna in any of this. We never see the doctor.
No.
I think we see the doctor in a close up where he says doctor to lieutenant.
Yeah.
But Paris leaves and then Janeway's last line.
Set a course for home. I remember that. But I thought it was you driving us home. It's actually Chakotay driving us home. So, that's
Chakotay's driving, and then we go out to space, and we see the flotilla, all the Starfleet ships,
all those ships,
and it pans across, and we see we're right near Earth.
Yeah,
and this episode was better than I ever remembered. Honestly, it was. I enjoyed watching it. I thought the choice of the very last moment having that shot in space of us heading towards Earth. And that's the end of it. Mm-hmm. I actually think it was really good writing. It was very smart. I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
Liked it. Two thumbs up.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Theme. What's the theme?
Jeez.
For me, the theme of this finale episode is it's never too late to change the past, to fix the mistakes of the past, or it's never too late. Like we can always, there's always something we can do to make amends, to make things a little bit better. Just because there's mistakes in the past or a rough past, you don't have to live with the consequences of that forever. You can do something to make it a little better. So it's never too late to do something about the past. That's my theme.
I don't know if I have one, to be honest. I'm still thinking about that conversation I had with the editors. Like, why did you move my reaction?
That's funny.
Why did you move my reaction?
Maybe you remembered it
video?
Wrong then. Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe that was wrong as well. I don't know.
Yeah. Because I remember this structure totally different. Yeah. I literally didn't think we went to the future until after we got home.
Yeah.
And clearly we went to the future last episode in part one. Mm. We went to the future first and then came back to our current timeline. So it was all different than I remembered.
Right.
Ratings, please.
I'm going to go. I'm going to go higher than what I was going to go. I mean, if I didn't watch the second part, I would have rated this like a 6, like pretty low.
Wow.
Because that's what it was in my mind. It was actually lower than that. I thought part 2 was like a 2 and no wow. more than a 2. But now that I've seen it, Robbie, now that I've watched it again, I'll give it a good solid 8.5 is what wow. I'm going to say. Yeah. So I'm going to go kind of high on that one.
All right. Yeah.
But not as high as my other one. My other one was 9.5. So part one was 9.5.
This one for me gets a 9.
You're higher.
I give this a 9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think this was really better than I remembered.
Yeah.
I think it was really well done. So
yeah.
Great job by the writers. Great concept.
Alan Craker, great job there.
Great directing. And great performance by Kate
nailed it.
Cregan, Kate, all of us.
Yeah. Every single person across the board. There wasn't a weak link in this chain at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very well done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there you go. There's our recap for part 2 for the finale of the finale. Yeah.
Wow. We're done.
Well, we're not really done.
We're done with the Voyager.
Don't go anywhere, everybody.
Yeah. Don't run
away. We're
going
to talk about Voyager for a couple more episodes. We've got some thoughts and ideas that we'll discuss in the next couple episodes. And then we've got some ideas for, where we go from here. Because as we said, this has been a great ride. But all good things must end.
They must.
And agreed. All good things must change into new things. So, we'll see where we go. But thanks everybody for listening.
Yeah.
Thank you for supporting this podcast through this really, really meaningful revisit of Voyager and the episodes. And
Patreon patrons, please stay tuned. We have a little bit more.